No, no. What happened simply was that it was a manifestation. Look at Noah. Where did Noah get the animals from that he used for sacrifice? The clean ones, he took 7. The unclean ones, he took just a pair. Can you remember that? What does that tell you? God has prepared him to make sacrifices. He sacrificed in obedience to the word of God. The just shall live by faith. David didn't offer sacrifices because he wanted to offer. They all offer sacrifices that were commanded. Why? Because it has always been the order of God. The just shall live by faith. It has always been like that. It has always been like that. It has always been like that. Now, the ultimate sacrifice, of which every other sacrifice was a type, was a foreshadow, was like somebody said, it was a promissory note. It's like saying that, okay, I've been working, I'm going to get paid at the end of the year. So you give your landlord a post-dated check. You get what I'm saying? That's what it was. All right, please, don't worry, we'll pay you. The money's coming at the end of the year. You give them a post-dated check. So don't worry, by 26th of December, they will have paid. So I'll give you a check for 31st. The fact that you know that the payment is coming, that's what the faith is. The animal sacrifices were just the checks that were written down. When Jesus came, listen, the Bible says clearly, the blood of bulls and goats, they could not take away sin. So why did God order them to be offered? Simple. It was a sign of the faith in those who offered them. So that when Jesus came and then died, that was the real sacrifice that everybody was looking forward to. After that, nobody is allowed to shed the blood of any other animal. Why? Because the real sacrifice has been offered. Please, I hope you're following my point. What am I explaining? So men struggled. But the truth is that none of them, not one was able to approach God that closely as to call him Father. That's why he used the word, no one can come to whom? He didn't say to God. God, Jesus knew how to choose his words. No one can come to whom? The Father. Because God has many faces. They could all come to the judge. They could come. You can come. You have words to speak. Speak. They could even come to the deliverer. They could even come to El Shaddai. And many people came to him. The widow of Zarephath was one of them. He didn't live near the Jews. She was far away in Sidon. She had problems. She cried to God. And God said, I will send you somebody to go and preserve your life. So he sent Elijah. She was able to contact God, the deliverer. Many people contacted different aspects of God. Joshua was walking one day and he saw him. He sent an angel, go and help Joshua fight. Moses could even find God different. But no one, not one, not Moses, could come to the Father. Not Moses. So let me answer that question for you. When they said that, what about many other people in the world? Look, that one is straight. Truth is truth. It doesn't have to feel good to our bodies. This is the truth. Before Jesus, before the light of the gospel went to certain areas, you know, because for them, Jesus hadn't come as far as nobody has come to tell them about it. Are you getting my point? Before that, men sought God, and many found him in different ways. Many approached close, but to a different part of God. And God was kind. You must understand, God never leaves himself without a witness. Everywhere where he doesn't have the witness, he will soon wipe the people out. Listen, go and read the story in the scriptures. When God says, when you get there, don't leave anybody standing. You know, some of those things, when people read it today, say God was wicked. God wasn't wicked. Those are people that were totally corrupted, and there was nothing good that was remaining. And there was not even any witness inside there. So there was no hope. So God said, look, kill everything, everybody you find. Wipe them out entirely. Entirely. Otherwise, God always left himself a witness. Always did. Always did. He always did. He always did. There were always standards of right and wrong. And he rewarded people. Look, what am I even talking about? Remember Abraham. Abraham went one day. Oh, so many things to say. The Bible says that there was time God went over something. There was a man called Abimelech. He had many wives. Plenty. And he saw Abraham's wife. And he wanted her too. And so Abraham said, this is my sister. And do you know the interesting part? Do you know God? Not the devil. Who? God came to Abimelech at night and said, you're a dead man. I'm going somewhere. He said to Abimelech, you're a dead man. And Abimelech said, what have I done deserving of death? And he knew it was God. So he took another man's wife. And he said, now listen to this. So this is a man that had many wives. And he said, you know it's in the integrity of my heart. You know how, you know if I tell you that I had it with the integrity of my heart, I married three wives. You will wonder whether I'm okay. Are you getting my point? This man had not, we don't know how many he had. Yet he said to God, it's in the integrity of my heart I took that woman. After all, he said, it's my sister. He said, okay, go and restore her back, and then he will pray for you because he's a prophet. Now, what I'm telling the story is that, you know, Abimelech knew God. But what did he know about God? The God that allows him to marry as many wives as long as it's not somebody else's wife. You and I know that that is not the same God that you and I know today. It's, in personality, it's the same person. It's the same individual. There is but one God. Are you getting my point? But that was the extent to which he revealed himself to those people. So David saw nothing with picking one wife after the other as long as it's not anybody else's wife yet. Now, you are getting what I'm going to explain? So men sought God and they knew a bit of him. That's what I'm going to emphasize, you know? And they tried to emphasize that, look, that people, you know, so that's what causes the confusion. They will not say that, hey, I used to know other people too. They didn't know God. Listen to me. God says, listen, I have revealed myself bit by bit to people. You hear words like, by this name I revealed myself to your to the fathers. By my name, Jehovah, I never revealed myself to any one of them. Are you getting my point? But what happened in Christ Jesus, he said, it pleased God that the fullness, not small, small. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. Not bit by bit, but that the fullness of the Godhead should dwell in him. Everything. There is no part of God that's not revealed in Jesus Christ. And the most crucial part of God, the Father part of God, nobody even knew it existed until Jesus came and revealed him. That's why till today, the Muslims will fight. That they say God has a son. They call God Father. You know it's war. It didn't start with them. With the Jews, it was the same thing. The thing Jesus did, that they said, we'll kill you today. This one we know you are beside yourself, was when he said, I am my father. I won. Give me a stone, give me a stone. Let's kill somebody. Let's kill somebody. This guy, we know you did miracles, but this is blasphemy. Why? It was strange revelation to them. They had never heard it before. So you see, it's not a lie. When he says, I am the way, the truth and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. It was not a lie. Even those who tried to approach God, they knew it. They knew there was a part of God they could not see. Moses, with all his friendliness, maintained a respectable distance every time he and God had to talk. Are you getting my point? And this is the interesting part. All these men I've talked about, especially outside the Jewish nation, all of them struggled for the little they got to. The Balaam we are talking about in the Bible, you know how many sacrifices he used to slaughter to get a glimpse? Come to this corner, maybe peradventure I will see something from this corner. Slaughter me seven bulls and seven rams. those people were putting it a lot of effort. Do you understand my point? Those were the struggles of mankind. They were putting it all kinds of effort to reach God. And most never did. The story I told you about the Hindus, about the Sadhus, after 12 years of standing straight, you know what happened at the end of 12 years? He will finally sit down. He will have found out that it was a waste of time. And you know his foolishness. You know why I say it's foolishness? Because if the Hindus before him, if he bothered to listen, they would have told him it's a waste of time. The most prominent of them all before him was Buddha. What we call Buddha now. I've forgotten his full name. Is the most, at least outside their world, I don't know much about their religion, but outside, is the most famous Hindu that we know. He tried all of those things. He did things like that. After many years, he found out, no, it doesn't work. He found out it didn't work. Many people went that way. They found out that it didn't work. I wish, just that people don't like to learn. Otherwise, the man would have known that this does not work. What works? Let's read it. Colossians chapter 1. This is the end of all struggles. That's what I'm talking about. It said, herein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Now, let me say something about Jesus Christ before we read that. Let me tell you what Jesus is, what he represents. We said that people were reaching out to God. Are you getting my point? In summary, Jesus is God reaching out to men. You hear what I said? That is, he said, his name shall be called Emmanuel, which means what? God with us. Not a God that is far away that we are trying to reach. That's what Jesus is. Jesus is God coming down to us. That he says, stop trying to reach out. Reach up or reach down or reach far. Say, no, God will now come down to you. That's what Jesus is. That's what he is. We are no longer trying. You must understand this. We are not trying to seek his face. His face, you must understand, is not hidden from the believer. You seek that which is what? Lost. That which you can't find. When people have been alienated from God, there are things they do. You know, like tell you Christians, you have to be careful. You don't copy people who are walking under a curse. You must understand. He says something. Paul was speaking in that Romans chapter 10. That don't say in your heart, who will go up to heavens to go and bring him down? Or who will go? They said the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth, the word of faith which you preach. That is, all that is remaining is believe with your heart. You don't look for anything. Is for you to receive that which he has given. That's one thing about Jesus people must understand. God is not taking from you, he's giving to you. Amen. He came unto his own, and his own did what? Receive. They did not what?
Receive.
They did not what?
Receive.
That is, God was giving them something. And the quarrel God has with you and me today is that I gave you something, you didn't take it. That's all. I gave it to you. You did not collect it. That's the only quarrel he has. He said, but as many as did what?
Received
him. To them he gave the power to become what people were. They did not even know it existed. People will fast for 12 months because they want God to show them mercy. People will say, we need to understand the realm of the spirit. So they go naked for 12 years, like I was telling you earlier. Yet they attained what? Nothing. Nothing. People who did it before them didn't get anything. But God said, this is how I'm going to do it. You will not reach out for me. I will reach down to you. This is what iniquity is. This is what sin is. That they gave you a gift, and his name is Jesus, and you rejected him. That's what the sin is now. That's all it is. That, listen, God, now it's not like you did bad, I will punish you. There's punishment for bad generally, there's a law of life like that. But the real active punishment of God when he pounces on people now is that I gave you a gift and you said what? No. Go and read the parables of Jesus Christ. Come and eat, they refuse. He cast them into outer darkness. I don't know whether you hear what I said. You know, normal human reasoning is that, I don't want chop nana by force. That's normal human reasoning. But with God, it's not like that. To reject his offer is iniquity. That's what it is. That God gave them his only begotten son, embodied himself in flesh and said, here I am, take. And you did what the Bible called, you did despite. You get what I'm saying, if you know that English. You just rubbished his gift. It is not a joke. God, listen to me. That one is not funny. That is what leads people into total condemnation. What is Jesus? It is the gift of God. God said, listen, stop reaching out. Stop reaching up. Trying to find me. No. What I will do now is that I will come. I will come in the midst of you. All I'm saying is just receive me. And he said he came unto his own. And his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the power, the authority to become sons of God. They became children of God. They were not people who are trying to reach out to a God that is far, but God put his spirit into them so that they could come into his presence anytime and call him Abba, Father. Let's read that so I can close. Colossians chapter 1. Let's start from verse 15. Talking about Jesus, he said, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created. Please, I want you to follow this again. I said something about this one briefly last time. I just want to amplify it. For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is also the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything. Now notice this. For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him, and through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Through him, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven. Now, this is where all human beings were, verse 21. And although you were formerly alienated and hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds, yet he has now reconciled you in his fleshly body through death, in order to present you before him holy and blameless and beyond reproach. He said, if indeed, I like New Living Translation here. He said, now what you need to do is to ensure you continue in the faith, firmly established and steadfast, and not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard, which was proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, was made a minister. Now, please, I will read the rest later, but I just want to jump to some things. Paul now said that I'm laboring, all right, that I may fully carry out, that's verse 25, the preaching of the word of God. That is, what am I preaching? The mystery which has been hidden from the past ages and generations, but has now been manifested to his saints, to whom God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. And what is that mystery? Which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. He now said, we proclaim him. Now notice verse 28. Admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom, so that we may present every man complete in Christ. Not just in good behavior, not just in knowledge, but complete in whom? In Christ. For this purpose I labor. That is, Paul said, this is what is driving me. Striving according to his power, which mightily works in me. Next time, we'll read into chapters 2 and 3. But let me just speak a few things here and then pass a few comments and then I'll close for today. He said in verse, if you read verse 8 of chapter 2, he says, see to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception, according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. For in him, that is in Christ, all the fullness of deity, of Godhead, dwells in bodily form. And in him you have been made complete. And he is the head over all rule and authority. And in him you were also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, in the removal of the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised up with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. Please let me stop here, all right? I will read the other things later. Many of them are just jumping out. There are a lot of them in this chapter too. Like in verse 16, it said, therefore, no one is to act as your judge in regard to food or drink or in respect to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath day, things which are a mere shadow of what is to come. But the substance belongs to who?
Christ.
All right. Now let me just stop here. And I'll finish reading something. I'll just see the next line. So let me quickly add it. But let's just stop here because I'm watching my time closely. Now there was something I wanted, before we read this, I said I wanted to say something. Okay, let me quickly say it. And that's the fact that, remember I said this one before, sometime, I think last year or the year before, teaching about this Christ thing. I explained the principle that in life you must choose the realm you want to operate in. And that there is a realm called Christ. Now, when we say that in him you have the fullness of wisdom and knowledge, this is what it means. Remember, by him all things were created. And without him was nothing created that was ever created. Business ideas were created by him. Amen?
Amen.
The wisdom of those business ideas are found also, therefore, in him. Now, I said something last time before I closed. I discussed that once my wife and I were speaking, and I explained to her that because of the job, a function she was taking up, coordinating a couple's fellowship, I said, tell your leader that you can't meet every time and be discussing marriage problems. The reason is because when people do that, you've been to many places like that, people often focus. Now, this is what I wanted to try and explain. We often focus on the wisdom. For example, how to make your wife happy, how to make your husband happy, how to raise your children. Now, we keep learning those things, and people keep on saying, and this is not totally a lie, but you see where we are walking in inferiority, that is, in a place inferior to where we're supposed to be. They'll say that when Muslims practice this, they also get results. Anytime you hear that, that tells you it's not by faith, and therefore it's not in accordance with grace. You hear what I said? Once you hear it, once somebody tells you, I've heard Christian preachers say it, that even Muslims have learned that to prosper, you need to regularly give a part of your money to the prophet. Once you hear it, just know that that is not your gospel. Because there is no gospel that works for you that will not work through faith. And if anybody that doesn't have the faith of Christ operates it, that thing is not the gospel of Jesus. It can't be. So I told her that, look, I just told my wife simply, I said, listen, this is one thing. The better you are in the reflection of the Christ character in you, automatically you're a better husband. Automatically you're a better wife. Automatically you're a better businessman. Listen to this. Prosperity will come upon you naturally. Favor will shine on you without you struggling for it. You will not even realize you need favor. Favor will come to you. Why? Because the fullness of all these blessings are in Christ Jesus. You see, as we go on, I am not saying, therefore, go out and break up. That is, start doing bad. Are you getting my point? So that grace may abound. Nobody said that. There are things that show you that you are not a believer. You see it, if you get down to chapter 3, Paul began to explain that in that book of Colossians. He said, because, now, you must understand the angle he's coming from and where he is supposed to come from in life. Let's take this giving thing as an example again. You know, I keep on saying it because people preach the opposite so much and you hear so much of it. And I don't think it's good. for Christians to operate things that are inferior to the truth of God, of Jesus Christ. Let's take this giving thing as an example. Because of the nature of Christ that is in you, you have no choice but to be generous. You hear what I said? It's not something you think about. If you are not, it is a sign you are walking away from faith. But you are not doing it because you think with that you will enter into prosperity. That is not Christianity. Christianity is simple. In Christ, I have been made complete as a prosperous man. In Christ, there is no poverty in me. The reason why people don't give is because they are afraid of tomorrow. The reason why they don't is because they don't understand that they have been blessed to be a blessing. Those are the two reasons. There's no third reason that I'm aware of. I mean, these two things, you'll be able to decode every other reason. Are you getting what I'm saying? But when somebody is a believer in Christ Jesus, you understand that, listen, I have been made complete as far as prosperity is concerned in Christ Jesus. My prosperity does not depend on the money I have today. And I understand the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, sufficient unto the day. What that means simply means is that anytime I give you money, this is enough for the problems of today. That's what he was saying. Solve all the problems of today. Don't worry. The thing will never finish. Are you getting what I'm going to explain?
Yes,
that's what it means to be what? Complete. I am not doing anything. You see, you must understand. If you are doing something to improve your standing with God, what you are saying that you are not complete in Him. And there are things you don't do. Don't insult God. For us believers, everything we do is an expression of where we are in Christ Jesus. It's an expression of our faith. Remember I said, people were reaching to God. God said, no, it's enough. Now, let me not come down to you. And anything I hand to you, this is how you know you have collected it. Now, this I want to end with this, all right? This is actually where I want to end, all right? Let me say something to you. Now, faith is a force in the realm of the spirit. Now, this is how God has done it in Christ Jesus. God has done everything. God, please give me the wisdom to explain this in a few sentences that we'll develop it next time. In Christ, God has done everything for you. Let me say it like this. In Christ, He has forgiven your sins.
Amen.
He has healed your diseases.
Amen.
He has crowned you with loving kindness and compassion.
Amen.
In Christ Jesus, He has solved all the problems you have not even seen.
Amen.
Are you following my point? That is, assuming you are 28 now, you are going to assume that you are just getting married. There are certain problems you are going to have in about 15 years' time. As at yesterday, 2,000 years ago, He has solved the problem, and you have not even seen the problem yet. Please follow me. That's how God does things. Before your father met your mother, all the problems that you are going to have, the solutions has been packaged and placed in Christ. God does not fashion solutions for you when you enter into trouble. I know what I'm saying there. A lot of us need to shake our heads. Say it again. This time around in English. So the one you said before, we don't know whether it was Greek or Latin. Listen to me. You hear of ancestral curses, ancestral problems, generational issues. Everything has been solved in Christ. Even for the fellow who has not been born yet. There's one man in Tibet, another one in Brazil, who will be born in about 75 years' time. All the problems of ancestral problems, you understand my point? In their lives, as of today, they have been solved. That's how God reasons. So. As far as it's concerned, He looked at Abraham. Abraham had not even had that child. He said, a father of many nations, I have made you. It's not, look, if we can arrange these things, you go see, oh, I feel do them. I can do it, oh. Just watch me. Just watch what I'm about to do. I will do something. No. He said, oh boy, a father of many nations, I have already made you. You must understand this. What Abraham saw, he did not see it physically before he died. Now, you know, so, let me explain something. What Abraham was walking with God for was not Isaac. What God wanted to bring from the life of Abraham was not Isaac. Isaac was the first sign of what God could do. Isaac was the reason Abraham could die in peace. You must understand, this is how God does it. When he makes a promise to people sometimes, and the promise is not for their own lifetime, but is dependent upon their faith, he gives them something while they live to sleep with. Do you understand my point? Remember Simeon? Simeon was kept alive to see the salvation of God. And the boy had not saved anybody when Simeon died. He saw him and said, now thy servant can depart in peace, that my eyes have seen the salvation that has not yet died for anybody. The birth of that child was confirmation that everything that God said to Simeon that he was going to do, he would do. When Isaac was born, it was a confirmation to Abraham that when he said, a father of many nations, I have made you, nothing can change it. So much was Abraham sure that when God said, sacrifice Isaac, he had no compunction about sacrificing him. Because the birth of Isaac was a sign. I learned that long ago. Read my book, Great Faith Can Be Yours. I wrote it in there. That Isaac is a sign. Isaac is not the promise. Isaac was a sign of the promise. And read the book of Hebrews chapter 11, said it. Said all these died in faith, not having received the promise. Isaac was just a sign. Say, Abraham, see, that when I say something, no shaking. Abraham died knowing that the blessing of God was going to come upon this earth, whether he was there or not. Now, why am I saying all of these things? God packages or has packaged everything in Christ. And he says, you lay hold on anyone that is relevant to you by one simple mechanism. It sounds so simple, but we are back to it. It is what? Faith. Anything you do that does not accept the work of God in your life as already done is unbelief. Let me say the commonest one. Any day you take money and say, God, I want to give this offering that you might prosper me, you have insulted him. Any day you do something because you think that is what is going to get something for you from God, it's an insult. Everything you do as a believer must be because you said, I recognize. You know, the king of Sodom came to Abraham. Give me the men, you can have all the goods. So that you can go tomorrow and say, I have made Abraham rich. He said, no. Apart from what I gave to Melchizedek and what my men have taken, take everything back. Why? I am so sure of the blessedness on my head. I don't want any pollution when we are going to tell the story. He wasn't sowing a seed into the life of the king of Sodom. The man was speaking, oh God, you must understand this. When he told Lot, Lot, come, choose anywhere you want. You think he was signing up for poverty? No. He was saying that to Lot because he realized that he came here because there was a call and there's a blessing upon his head. Whatever you like, take. I'm still blessed. That is why, let me tell you, as a Christian, one thing you must never cry over is you lost something. You know what I mean, lost something? You lost money. You invested money, you lost. You give somebody money, you not pay back. Your goods is on the ship, and it sank, and there's no insurance. Are you getting my point? You know those kind of things. Or the one I always like to add for the young boys. After all the labor I labored on Angela. You know that, my Angela? If anybody comes here and her name is Angela, she'll say, wait, Pastor, change the name. I don't need someone using me to preach every time, I don't tire. You know, say, with all the labor I've labored, can you imagine? People are very, very wicked. I can't believe this. How am I going to recover from this? Listen, you're already blessed.
Amen.
The Bible says you are complete in Him. When Angela ran away with all your affection and all your love, it just shows that she's not the completeness in Him. That's all. It's a revelation. Listen to me, every disappointment is a revelation.
Amen.
What did I say?
Every disappointment is a revelation.
Every disappointment is a revelation. You had confessed that job. You have done everything. You have woken up at night while men were sleeping and prophesied that I have favor with the managing director. As I appear, he will see the glory upon me and begin to appoint me, as it were, into the appropriate position. And then you confess, and you declared, Robobolo, Gobolo, you do everything upon it. When you reach there that morning, the man looks at you. Why you just call me? You didn't hear the interview in there yesterday. Sir? Yes. We wanted 6 people. But right now, I have 7. I don't know how to even remove the extra one. In your mind, Holy Ghost. You know, Christian will not say that my faith did not work. How can your faith not work? Your faith is not working. It has worked. I don't know how to explain it again. You're not trying to produce anything. Your faith has already taken you into the fullness. When you get there and they don't give you that one, you simply realize, sir, it was nice knowing you. In your mind, this was not my own. You can even feel sorry for him small. If this man knew who was before, you would have asked for living water. You forgive her. Oh, there was one thing I said. I'll develop it again next time. That's what I'm ending with. God has done everything. That here, an amen.
Amen.
Each one becomes real to you as you, by faith, recognize it. Everything you don't recognize is the one that seems not to work in your life. And that's why the promises of God are like that. It is always by faith. So God speaks as a matter of finality. He talks from a done position. A father of many nations, I have made you. All the events of your life will begin to work to bring out the reality of that into existence. You are not allowed, let me end with that. You are not allowed to walk as if you are trying to make that thing become. You walk as knowing, not as if. You walk knowing that already is. Do you understand my point? Yes, you walk knowing that already what? Is. You're not trying to prosper. You have already prospered. What you are doing is that you are walking in the prosperity that God has already completed for you in Christ. Everything you are doing in life is like, let me look, a prosperous man, you know, prosperity, you know, wealth. I've defined wealth before. Wealth is not, I have money. No, wealth is I am a blessing. Wealth is that I'm bringing substance into the lives of people. That's what wealth is. Wealth is not I have cash. So when you get up in the morning, it's not like, hey, what man go do today so that man go make him. No, it's more of I am a blessing that God sends to bless somebody. So if you're in my pathway of blessing for today, show up, let me bless you. I don't know whether you get my point. So you begin to use your gift to bless somebody. That's what it is. That is what it is. So if I'm a preacher, I pour forth preaching. Are you getting my point? That's why, listen, I have not doubted, you know, I say it all the time. I can't doubt it anymore. A time will come. If I want a private jet, I won't go and buy one even if I have the money. I will call 3 of you, go and buy it and bring it.
Amen.
It's not like I go and say, oh, I want to buy it. No, no. My wife will say, but we have the money. I say, why should I be buying private jet? What is Udechukwu doing that I will be buying private jet? Are you getting my point? I will just call 3 people, say 3 of you, go and bring it. I want this, I will give you the size. You know why? Oh, the Lord is good. Zechariah succeeded by the prophesying of the prophets. Zerubbabel, I want you to say. Zerubbabel. I know as I'm uttering words, is bringing forth prosperity into the lives of people.
Amen.
The divine commandment is that when it has borne fruit, we must share it. It's divine commandment. It's divine commandment. You can't chop it alone. Otherwise, me too, I have to go and start business. I have to start designing and building houses like Bishop. And you get what I'm saying? And then when will I be preaching for you? So God said, okay, you, preach. Guys, when it bears fruit, we share it. Yeah, what I'm going to say is that I know that I'm producing wealth. You know why? Because I have been blessed to be a blessing. Every day you walk with that mentality is a finished work mentality. That's why we titled our message, Christ, the Final Truth. It's not a, we're not trying to achieve something. We are saying God has achieved that thing for us in Christ Jesus. I think I've spoken enough. I've spoken enough for today. I hope you heard what I said.
Yes,
I hope you heard what I said.
Yes,
just bow your hand and say, Lord, thank you for these words. Say, Lord, thank you that I am complete in Christ. That my struggles have come to an end.